Father, thank you for your goodness. You are good. We sing of your goodness and of your greatness and of your majesty and of your wonder. And we thank you. Lord, I don't know. Sometimes it just doesn't compute sometimes that you are the God of the heavens that created all these things. You can be so personal that we can lose sight of your vastness. But you are good and you are great and you hold all things in your hands. And Lord, you hold Miriam in your hand, and we thank you for that. And Lord, if it's we need a prayer, then we pray that we might be burdened, that we would join with our sister in prayer, that there would be complete healing. Complete healing, Lord. Complete healing, Lord. Oh God. The bone, the muscle, the skin, the whole thing, Lord, that it would heal up and grow back together. There are no infection, no problems, Lord. And for Miriam herself, Lord, that you would just bring complete healing, Lord, body, soul, and spirit, that she might find her rest in you, she might find her joy in you, she might find complete acceptance and be able to be in your loving kindness and in your mercies and in your goodness, Lord. Well, bless our sister, Lord. Give her hope. Give her hope. Give her joy. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us tonight. We want to remember Ruth and my mom and pray that you would be with them, keep them, give them strength. The Thompsons, we thank you for them, Lord. Give them rest and your word, Lord. And help us, Lord, as we grow, as we are tested, as we navigate through life. We pray that your spirit, Lord, I know it is the job of your Holy Spirit to lead us, and we pray that we might be attuned to hear. You are faithful. You are faithful. And we want to be in turn faithful. Faithful in hearing and obeying and doing your will, following you and finding out what your will is, Lord, and doing it. Now we pray that you would bless us tonight, Lord, with your presence. Bless us, Lord, with your anointing. Bless us with understanding. Bless us, Lord, I pray, by your Spirit, to be among us tonight, to minister to each one. Each one, Lord, we need you. You are life. You yourself, Lord. We don't want you to give us life. You are life, and we want you. We want you, you, you. You in our thoughts, you in our minds. You in our being, you in our emotions, follow you. So we thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I got Ronnie here. Well, I wanted to pick up, maybe not where Pastor left off, but kind of go over the same area, just because God had made it very real to me. That is chapters, it's the beast, so it's got to be 12. Huh? Yes. Pastor spoke on Sunday morning, and if you didn't get the tape or if you weren't here, you ought to, because it was very good, very comprehensive. A lot of very interesting topics. I was noticing when he was speaking Sunday, I was saying, wow, you know, he covers in one sermon about 15 or 20 of mine. But he's trying to get the word out and get it out, and you can play the tape and you can play the video, you can read it or download it or whatever and go over and over and over. So he's getting as much as he can out. I, on my part, I'm going at a slower pace. So I'd like to read it first. And then we'll go from there. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. I'm in the New American Standard tonight. Just to keep you on your toes, Michael. And to keep Jeannie happy every once in a while. The real Bible, the one that Paul wrote. Revelation chapter 12, starting at 7 through 12. No. Through 13. Ready? And here we go. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he is only a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Okay. Mike, I won't need it right now, but if you could find it, it's in Daniel where it says, and judgment was passed to the saints. I think it's 9, but I'm not sure. Okay. All right. So this is what happened. I don't remember when it was, maybe a few years back. I don't remember. I think it was a Saturday morning. But I woke up and I had an impression. Has anybody ever woke up and had an impression? Right off the get-bat. I mean, just right off the bat. I woke up, and immediately I had an impression. And the impression was, the war has already begun. The war has already begun. Okay. Now, it wasn't Iraq. I don't know when it was. Bob would know, because Bob keeps very extensive notes, and he dates them all. And I keep some notes, but they're not extensive. They're not always dated. But Bob does. So Bob could tell you, because it was on a Sunday that I preached this, so he could tell you when I preached it. Okay, because he has all those notes. He has every song list he ever wrote, you know, ever. And okay, so I woke up, because I remember looking out the back window. I'm pretty sure it was a Saturday morning, because it's the only time I ever look out the back window when I wake up. And I knew right away that the war was this war in heaven. And so I began to ask the Lord, because just because you get an impression doesn't mean it comes from God. And he took me to this passage of Scripture. And it was sometime back when we were learning the importance of walking in the light. It may have been back when I was getting a grasp on what it meant to walk in the light. Do you know what I mean when I say what it means to walk in the light? Well, after tonight, you will. Okay. So, and what occurred to me is when there's a war, how long have we been in Iraq?
5 years.
5 years. Okay. Now, when I used to read this scripture, there was war in heaven. It was like a story. Once upon a time, there was this fairy princess. Okay? And so there was war in heaven, and
bingo, and it took that long. That's kind of how, I mean, you know, I never really thought it through. But when I did begin to think it through because I had this impression, I realized I really never gave this war any time. I just kind of figured it was over in a heartbeat. Sort of a New York second, as Tony would say. Okay? Civil War was four years. There was one war. There's been some various wars. There was one war that lasted 100 years. It was called the 100-Year War. Uh-huh. And then the war that we waged on Iraq the first time, what was that, 100 days? Yeah. So one of the longest and one of the shortest wars ever waged. Okay, but in any case, wars take time.
Six-day war,
yes. Okay, so that was even quicker. But wars take time, even 6 days. Okay? It's not like they just happen and it's all said and done and you read about it in the paper. There was a war yesterday. Okay? They take time. There's involvement. And what I felt the Lord was saying was that this war, let's zip back to the beginning, okay? Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. That this war in heaven is over a period of time. But this is not some future event that's going to happen and be gone in the blink of an eye. But it'll occur in real time. And in fact, I felt the Lord was telling me, it is occurring now. It has already begun. Pastor wrote a little pamphlet based on that talk, and he thought that he could concur with that. It probably has already begun. Now let's look at it, because there's some interesting aspects about this war, okay? Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, all right? And so if we think about Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, we think that Michael and his angels, there's the pushover, right? That's why we thought that the war was blink in the blink of an eye. Michael and his angels, okay? But what's the next part say? And the dragon and his angels waged war. They fought back. Now, like Pastor said, I have absolutely no idea how angels fight. I did have somewhat of a vision when we first were in this church, and I was, for whatever reason, behind the pulpit, I forget. I had a sense of a big angel here in the back, quite tall. I would guess around 40 feet, easy, maybe much higher. But in any case, he was inside the building, but he was much taller than the building. And there was another one that I did not see, but I sensed behind me. And they were like having a shoving contest. So I don't know. And if you ever read This Present Darkness, mm-hmm. That's cool. Peretti's books, yeah. I love those books. Those really. And he's got he himself does them in audio tape. That guy is so. You ever heard that guy talk? He's a riot. He makes all the different sounds. And I will kill you. I mean, it's really cool the way he does effects on the voices. It's a lot of fun. But he's got interesting. They fight with swords, of course, and whack each other and bleed and all kinds of interesting things. So I don't know how they wage war. Okay, but they do. And apparently, see, it says verse 8, and they were not strong enough. How long this war is going on or has gone on or will go on, I'm not sure. I don't suspect that it has been in the past. Okay? I don't think there was a war. I think the reason why it says, and there was war in heaven, is because it comes a time, and again, I had the impression that that time has already begun, where Michael and his angels feel strong enough to begin to take on the dragon. Up to this point, They did not feel strong enough to take on the dragon, which would indicate that there is a significant change somehow along the line that would give Michael and his angels this sense of that they might prevail. Okay. And it says, and they were not strong enough, meaning the dragon and his angels. Now, we know that the dragon, that the dragon Satan has access to heaven, right? He's the accuser of the brethren. And it says there, further down, who accuses them before our God day and night. Okay? So apparently he's been in the habit of doing this for how long, I don't know, back as far as Job's day. Okay? And there comes a point, and we're going to see that, because when we get down farther, there's a word that says, and now, yeah, verse 10. See, that says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now, that comes nows. When the scripture talks about today, that means today. But when the scripture talks about now, it doesn't mean right now. When it talks about now in the scripture, that means there comes a time that is now, which means it has not been until that point. Okay? Today is today. When the scripture says today is the day of salvation, today is the day. Today. Not talking about anything. He's talking about right this second. Okay? But when it says now, now is not necessarily meaning right this second. It means it hasn't happened before, it won't happen again. It happens at a specific time called now. Okay? But we'll get to that in a second. So, okay, so here we are. So they're fighting, and they're not strong enough. And the reason why is verse 8. Look, now see verse, second part of verse 8. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. You see that? And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. All right. Now, this is what came to me that morning. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 30. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's about to go to Gethsemane and to the cross. And he says, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and what? He has nothing in me. Okay? What does the King James say there? Has nothing in me. Okay. Okay. You see that? Has nothing in me. Okay. Whenever you and I sin, we give place to the devil. The reason why Jesus said he has nothing in me is because Jesus never gave him any place. Remember when they were talking in Song of Solomon, and the bride's talking to the bridegroom, and they're saying, what are we going to do about our little sisters when the day they're asked for? And if they're a wall, we'll build on them. But if they're a door, we'll close them in and make a wall out of them. See? A door is a personality that whenever the devil comes in, he can walk in anytime he wants. They just don't have any resistance. He comes in, he goes out, he does whatever. Well, there are Christians that way. Whenever they're tempted, they just go. They don't, you know, they do, I suppose they do the best they can. I don't know their predicament, okay? I don't point my finger at them or accuse or anything. I do my best to help them and pray for them and not crush them. They got a big enough load already because they're destroyed, okay? And but they have no resistance. Okay? The enemy has place there. Whenever you see, well, a lot of us we wonder, a lot of Christians wonder, Tony, whether a Christian can have a demon or not. Okay? And that's a theological question, or it's a doctrinal question. And the point is simple. If if you give ground to an enemy and you have no control over that, if you act like a demon, it probably is a demon. Okay? As Scripture says, whoever sins is of the devil. So what's the difference? You know? Get it out. Get rid of it. Yeah, bro.
Judas, the devil went in him.
The devil went in him, yes. Well, there are some who will say he was never born again. He was a son of perdition, blah, 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 blah. He was a disciple. And so were Ananias and Sapphira. And the Scripture says the devil has put it in you.
There you go.
To do this. Okay. So in any case, okay, whether you believe it or not, you don't give them ground. When you sin, whoever it's, Paul says, whenever we sin, we are their slave. Whoever we obey, that's who we're a slave to. Whether to sin, which leads to death, or to righteousness, which leads to life. Okay? So when we do, when we sin, we give ground to the evil one. We give him a place to stand. We give him something to talk about to God. He has something to accuse us about. Look what he did now. Remember? Pastor gave the little scenario. Look, and he's trying to talk God, and I believe Pastor's got a good point. That he's trying to talk God, and look. All right. Okay, God. You're going to cast me in the lake of fire along with all liars, right? Because liars have their place in the lake of fire, right? Well, look at your little servant down there. He just lied. Are you going to throw him in the lake of fire or not? Because if you keep him out of the lake of fire, you should keep me out of the lake of fire. There's no difference between him and me. And then there's Jesus on the other side. And he says, well, wait a minute, Father. Wait a minute, Father. Yes, your servant just lied. But give me time with him. I believe that if the Holy Spirit brings it to his attention, he'll confess it and repent of it. Give me a time. And God goes, okay, just be quiet, Satan. We give him a little time. And God got to put up with this on and on and on. When we sin. Okay? And it's because all these years the church has taught us that verse we put in the Bible in 1 John, somewhere in chapter 3. We still haven't found, but we know it has to be there because every time we study 1 John chapter 3, we hear that same verse, don't we, Mike? Can you quote it for me, Mike? It starts off the same word. It starts off with the same word. Always starts off with the same word. It doesn't matter what translation it's in. It always starts off with the same word, okay? You read verses like, he who is born of God cannot sin because, does not sin because he cannot sin because he's born of God. And then you hear the verse. But we all know that so long as we're living in the flesh, we're going to sin. I know it's there somewhere in 1 John because I've heard it many times. I have, literally, heard that verse. But we all know, so long as we live in the flesh, we're going to sin. And the church has believed this and thinks it's in the Bible all these years. That's why there hasn't been any war in heaven. Because there's been plenty of ground, plenty of place for the devil to stand on. Plenty of sinning going on, and everybody says, oh, that we're all saved by grace. God understands. You heard that? God understands. Oh, yeah, he understands exactly. He understands exactly.
He knows our heart.
He knows our, you got the good one right. He knows our heart. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, he does. He knows our heart. We're the one that don't. We're the one that don't know our heart. Yeah, no. He'll set up the circumstances so that not only does he know our heart, but we know our heart and the devil knows our heart. And whoever happens to be standing around when it happens will know our heart too. That's good for us. It's, if it's in there, get it out. And it's only going to happen by God's goodness, by exposing it. We want to cover. Fig leaves, fig leaves. Don't look, don't look, don't look. Right? That's what we want to do. Get those fig leaves out. Hide, hide, hide. Don't look, don't look. And the Holy Spirit wants to go, that's sin. Shameful to be like that. It's going to be exposed. It will be exposed, saints. Believe me. It will be exposed. If it isn't taken care of now, it's going to get shouted on the rooftops. Oh, boy. So if you got a little secret closet somewhere, just think about it being shouted on the rooftops. It will be. We either take care of it now, or we'll get to take care of it then. Okay? Wonderful. So God exposing things, God bringing things up, God working our circumstances so that we can't hide anymore is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's God's love and kindness to us. I believe this has begun. And as it has begun, we're beginning to take ground back. Isn't that what it says? Joshua is going to lead them into the promised land. Well, the promised land, remember what the first, very first aspect of the promised land is? What?
There are enemies in it.
No, very first aspect, meaning what the land is. I know there's enemies in it, but what is the it that they're in? It flows with milk and honey. Okay, what flows with milk and honey? What is the it?
The land.
Yeah, the land. What is the land? Israel? Canaan? Dirt?
Dirt. It's that the place where they got real hungry and there was nothing to eat? God gave them the manna?
No.
It's your personality.
Our personality, yes. Thank you. First part of the land of promise. You see, you're not going to get in external ground until you first learn how to take the internal ground. The first place you and I conquer the kingdom is on our own nasty little personalities.
So the promised land is us.
It's part of it. It's the physical creation, the whole physical creation, and you're part of it. But it starts right there in River City. You see, Jesus says you can't handle true riches. I mean, if you can't handle little things, how is he going to give you other things of the kingdom? Okay? So if you can't handle your own personality, he's not going to give you other people.
I never thought about it that way. Makes sense, though.
Sure. If we haven't got mastery over our own personality, we're not going to be given other personalities to deal with. We're going to have somebody who has mastery over their personality who can help us. Yeah. So the first piece of ground we're taking is our own personalities, Tony. As God reveals things inside of us that are not right, that are not of faith, that do not line up with God's word, that are not holy. There are things inside of us that are that way, all of us. And he wants to change that. He wants to take that ground, wherever your foot shall tread, I have given it to you. And that's why God sent Diane here. To help us begin to take possession of our own souls. You know that's in the Bible? Possess your own souls. Not your spirit. Not your body. Your soul. Your soul is that part of you that meets between the body and the spirit. The spirit's alive and raised up with God and seated in the heavenlies. The body's here on earth and is dead because of sin. It's the soul that we're fighting for. It's the soul that has to be saved. It's the soul where your mind, your emotions are, and your will is located that has to be converted. Okay, it has to be renewed. It has to be changed day by day. Spirit descended right away. Your spirit has been reborn. Your spirit has been given to you by the word of God. Been implanted in us. It's been revived and raised up with God. Okay? And the body is dead. It's the soul. that we fight for. Most of it is the battle of the mind. Okay? It's the battle of the mind. And as we are, this is what I believe the Lord was showing me that morning. As we are being transformed, as we are putting an end to sin, as we are allowing God to bring things up, as we are learning to confess our sins. Remember, we're learning how to confess our sins? Okay? Tony, what's the routine in confessing sins?
Confess, renounce, renounce, draw near to God.
Confess our sins, denounce our sins, renounce our sins, resist, and draw near. And I don't know, they can, you can have these as simultaneous, or I don't know that there's an order to them, because you have to do both. You have to resist the devil and draw near to God. You won't do any good resisting if you don't draw near to God, and you won't. And if you draw near to God, you will be able to resist. Yes.
So you say the fight, the battle that the angel is doing in heaven together with us is we do the fight in our souls. That means that the redeemed soul is fed.
We are taking place away from the enemy to accuse us day and night before God.
So that means that then we are a piece of heaven.
A piece of heaven.
Sounds good, no? No, I mean, if I ask you, what is heaven and what is earth? Where is heaven? I mean, when Jesus is the kingdom is...
It's not out.
It must be the redeemed souls.
It's right here. Jesus is here with us. If we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, then it can't be that far away.
So, but that would be interesting. But this would be a very interesting thing. If that means that our soul, our the saved or the redeemed soul is the land that is in Revelation, is heaven. Where the devil has been thrown out, that means he cannot accuse brethren anymore. So we would be for those that redeemed souls of Israel. And the earth is the earth, not redeemed souls.
Yes, Tom.
Then I have a definition for heaven. You know that I use down at the jails. I don't know if can I?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. When you're an inch off the earth, you're in heaven. When you're past the sun and past the galaxies, you're in heaven. The unseen world is heaven. The invisible world is heaven. All around you is heaven. So heaven can be all around us. Okay? So it's a place, but it's not a...
It's more spiritual.
Yeah, it's spiritual. It's an unseen world. When the plane is up in the air, it's in heaven. When it's landed, it's on earth. So that's what heaven is. It's
but then all pilots are constantly in heaven.
Yeah, they're on the plane flying in heaven.
When you're
an inch off the earth.
There's no distinction between heaven, the sky, and heaven, the heavens. Okay. Well, I'm not so sure that I understand the purpose for that thought, but. The purpose that I'm trying to show us is this, that as we go through these in the confessing of the sin and deal with sin and have eternal judgment made within us, this reduces the place. It says there was no more place found for them. Go back to Revelation. I think it's 8. There was no longer a place found for them in heaven. This is what I feel. As we do this, we take away the place for them to remain in heaven. Okay? Because his place is to stand there and accuse us day and night.
Remember what she said? There was the thrones are in heaven, and heaven also is a place of authority. And those thrones are going to be displaced. I remember you saying that.
Yes, then we're getting to that in just a minute. All right, so here we are. So they weren't strong enough. Why aren't they strong enough? What makes the difference in the strength? Because there's no longer a place for them. Okay? What the testimony of the saints is how the place is taken. It's like if you are in, let's say, stand up, Tony. Put your hands against mine. Now, if we're pushing against each other, just push steady. Just push steady.
No, steady.
Okay? If you put Tony in the mud, who's going to win? I'm going to win. Doesn't matter who's stronger. Tony doesn't have a place to stand. If he's in the mud, his feet are going to slide out from under him, right? You've got to have a place to stand. You've got to have something to stand on in order to do your fighting. When that's taken out from under you, you can't fight. The place he stands on is right down there in verse 10. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. He stands on accusation. Okay? And the reason why he has a place, Jesus said, he has no place in me. He has nothing in me. Okay? The reason why he can have that place is because he has something in you and I. He's got ground in us. He's got ground in us. When we sin, he has ground. Here's a place to stand. When we went to Hot Springs, mm-hmm. And we were with that girl, and everybody's trying to cast the devils out of her. This is the most interesting thing. I would never recommend to do it again, but it was a very interesting experience.
I don't remember that.
You weren't there. I was there. They called me over from Pastor Thompson's church, the big expert, I guess. They thought, whatever. To deal with it. I was called in on two experiences, and both were enlightening. One was a boy with Down syndrome. We were trying to cast the devil out of him. He had Down syndrome. And he learned, because they're not totally, you know, without some smarts. He learned how to get a whole lot of people to come over and put their hands on him. He got absolutely no attention most of the time because he was Down syndrome. Who pays a lot of attention to people with Down syndrome? Okay. But if he were, when the time came, he would go, everybody come around and put their hands on him and try to cast the devil out of him. So there he is doing his thing. And everybody, and we're all praying and we're laying hands on him. And the Lord said, what he needs is a little love and peace. A little acceptance is all he needed. He just learned to go through the motions because he got attention. There was no demon there. He's just a nice guy. But he learned. He'd been in enough meetings. I mean, he got a big crowd and it was cool. There was another thing they called me over to. Just two that I remember. I may have been more, I don't know, but there were two I remember. And we came over to this one, okay? And so we're all going through our little rant and rave in the name of Jesus. You come out of it, blah, 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 blah. All right, so we're doing our thing. And anyway, this lady's sitting there, and she rolls up and looks at me with a not godly look and says, I don't have to come out of her. Hello. Mm-hmm. Stan stopped, sang his prayers, and started praying. Okay, God, what is this? Who is this? And what ground do they have to stand on? Because he was right. He didn't have to. We had to find out what ground it was he was standing on. He had a right to stay inside this woman. So I prayed, and as I prayed, God led me to begin to ask questions. And I shortly found out she had unforgiveness to her husband and he had unforgiveness to her. The ground was unforgiveness. I turned it over to the real experts who knew what they were doing and told them she has unforgiveness with him. He has unforgiveness with her. They went off. They dealt with him for a long time. And the thing came out.
Because they got rid of the ground. They got the forgiveness taken care of. Mm-hmm. See? Satan can stand where he has ground. Yes.
That's why it says in Romans 6, it says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Because then it has dominion in you. So sin shall not have dominion in us.
Right.
It has dominion when we let it
when
reign.
We sin, he has dominion in us. Okay? And we give place to the devil. The scripture uses that word. We give place to the devil. We need to take the place away. And we do that through the confession of sins. Confessing out loud, denouncing it, saying that we admit and judge it as something that it is sin, not of God and worthy of the lake of fire. Renounce. That is, we declare that by God's grace and help, we're never going to do it again. Period. That's the thing that the church needs to learn. That sin can be dealt with like that. As in never. Never. There are some things that I have done in the past that I have never done since, and by God's grace, I never will. Ever. And I want that list to grow. Of things that I will never ever do again. I really want that list to grow. Okay? And so does God. Then once we've gotten there, the victory, then we've got to resist the devil because he's not going to just roll over and play dead. He's going to try. I learned that. I had a major victory in lust through the confession of sins. And then I was working on a job site and there was all kinds of lustful thoughts coming into my mind. And I couldn't understand. I thought, oh man, what have I done? I thought I got this dealt with. I thought I got this out of me and now here. And then for 3 days, this thing troubled me. I was having the hardest time. And then on the third day, God opened my eyes and I saw what I couldn't see up to that point because God wanted to make a point with me. Okay. And then on the third day, I began to notice that all the workers are outside going, and they're all looking up on the roof, making goofy noises and acting very strange. And I walked out to see what's going on. And there's these two girls who've been out there all this time working on the roof in bikinis. And that's where this thing was coming from. Okay. So you can, once you deal with it, doesn't mean it just goes away. But because you have fights with it again doesn't necessarily mean you've lost the ground. It's just there's a difference between it being in you and outside of you. Before the problem was in me, once I got it dealt with in me, then I could feel the influence from outside of me, but I didn't give it any ground. Okay?
Two girls in bikinis.
Roofing.
Attracted that much trash in the spirit realm.
Yes.
Impressive.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because it was totally inappropriate and they knew it and they were loving it and the whole thing was just evil.
It was attracting spirits.
Oh yeah, attracted spirits and I sensed them.
Yeah.
I sensed them. Oh, I've sensed spirits and I was walking with another Christian superintendent one time and this guy was in the house and he started yelling some weird stuff. I mean, he was just, and I just turned to the other guy. I said, the spirits cried out. And he looked at me like, because he didn't believe in that sort of stuff. He didn't believe in it, but he's going, what am I going to say? He don't believe in it, but the guy just made the noises. He couldn't deny it. It really shook his little doctrine up. The spirits cried out. They did. We walked in. It was a holy conversation. And this guy acted out because he had something going on inside.
It's real.
It's real. Okay. All right, so this is real stuff we're dealing with. And what we're trying to do is take the ground away from them so there's no more place for the devil to stand before God and accuse us day and night. Okay, he's thrown down to the earth and his angels are thrown down with him. All right, and then we come to this place and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now, notice that. Remember when I say that, it doesn't mean this second. That means there's coming a time. It means when it says now, that means before it hadn't been that way.
But at that point, it has changed. Now something is true that hasn't been true before. And now we can go over there to that verse I asked you to look up in Daniel. I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them. See that? When you're going to get that, you'll see that a little later in the next chapter in Revelation. Until what? The Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints. See that? What's this judgment pass? There's a judge here. What's this judgment pass in favor of the saints? That doesn't say, does it? And the time arrived. Aha! A time arrived. Now! When the saints took possession of the kingdom. Okay? And we can go back. Because the possession of the kingdom is here.
Right. Starts here, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Here.
Yes, sir.
We are to possess our souls. We start here before we ever start taking over the world. Okay? So, and how did they do that? Because of the blood of the Lamb. We've talked about this before. Pastor gave that. The blood of the Lamb is something God did. Sovereign act of God. Okay? He gave His only Son, shed His blood for us, became the Lamb. And so because of that, now this, remember, do you remember Pastor talking about, remember him using these words too about our position? Remember we'd been talking about that here? Remember?
Mm-hmm.
See? Our position. And he told us Colossians. Go to Colossians. Colossians is a great book that has, because you have to have the balance between your position and what did he call the other? I call it our experience, but he had another word for it. Present reality or something like that.
Experience is good.
Oh, I like it too, but that's not the word he used. Huh? Mike, were you here on Sunday? Anybody remember what he used? I think he called it present reality. Something like that. Present something. Okay, but we have to get a balance between these things because our position is true. Our position is true. What God is declaring and made for us is true. What we have to do is keep it. It's Satan who wants to tear us down. See, we're already seated at the highest place. We are already ascended to the highest place. We are already with Christ at the right hand of the Father. We allow Satan and circumstances and our emotions and anything that comes along to tear us down from that. We don't have to go back and attain to that. It's been given. It's been given. It's the right of a son. What we have to do is maintain. Okay? Maintain. There's a verse for that. And because of the testimony which they had maintained. Okay? And we get back to the verse that we were in Revelation there. The three things. By the blood of the Lamb. Okay, so that, the blood is something God did. But it's the word of our testimony. Okay? That's where we have to choose to make what God has said true, true. Our position and our present experience. We have to get them to line up. That's the word of your testimony. We have to make those two things because where our present experience, our present whatever he called it, whatever that is, where that doesn't line up with God's word, it has to be worked on until it gets there. Okay? If we're torn down and down in the dumps or down in whatever, why art thou cast down, O my soul? I will yet hope in God. Okay? It's our job to go to God and get the help we need to get to where we are living in the experience that God has already given us. I don't have to climb up to try to get into heaven. I'm already seated there.
That's what faith is.
That's what faith is.
Even if you don't see it.
To believe that which is hoped for. It's the evidence of the things hoped for. So that we live as if they're true. Because they are. Okay? So, because of the word of our testimony, and because they did not love their life even to death. Okay? And we're learning what that means. I think he gave a good sense Sunday of what can I say, how far we are from that reality. Did not love their life even to death. Okay? Because we're going to get down, we get down to the next chapter. You see, I think a lot of these chapters are not simultaneous events. I mean, I think they are simultaneous. I don't think they are, consecutive or sequential. I think they are, one is happening in the physical realm, one is happening in the spiritual realm. They're each happening, and they're showing different aspects of the same sort of things that are happening at the same time. Okay? There are different aspects of it. Okay? So while the witness is being born, there's war in heaven, and at the same time, Antichrist is coming up. Okay, all these things kind of take place at the same time. Because it isn't until after he's thrown down that Antichrist comes up. So what that means to me is that we find our rest. Remember in Israel when it got darkness in all of Egypt? It wasn't sun shining in Goshen. There was light in the house. Each dwelling place had light within. That's where we're going to be, Tony. And that's an important thing to grasp. Okay? That means we are at perfect rest and have overcome and have taken the kingdom. But it doesn't mean that we're going to survive physically. Because some says verse in the next chapter when it talks about the Antichrist coming up. It says, herein is the patience. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. That's loving not your life even unto death, Pat. Whatever God wants for you and me, that's going to be fine with us. Some of us will go to prison in one form or another. Some of us will die in one form or another. Not to be alarmed. That's not defeat. It's not defeat. Once we get that victory and we take the ground and there's light within, then taking our life physically is a reward. Yes, bro.
I think another aspect of that idea of the darkness in Egypt and even in Goshen, the lights inside, because the Egyptians couldn't get any light inside their place, is that, say, for example, for America, as we've heard, you know, judgment coming, whatever form that takes, it doesn't mean that the Christians will somehow be extricated from that necessarily. They'll be in the midst of it. They'll be, quote-unquote, suffering right along with everybody else, except that they will be provided for by God. They will have light that people can come to.
And when he says provided for, Pat, that doesn't necessarily mean that we'll be rich while everybody else is suffering poor. That just means that we will have victory within. We will have God's provision of grace. We will have God's provision of joy in the midst of sorrow. When everything seems hopeless, we'll have hope. When everything seems absurd and pointless, we'll have a point. Okay? That will have light within us. And woe to the rest of the world that leans on America. Because we will soon be nothing but a reed that punctures the hand that leans on it. Okay. I'm almost done. So now, I'm back in the other verse. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Now what I'm saying here, Tony, is that that doesn't mean that at that point Jesus returns to the earth. I think what that means is at that point, you and I will begin to know the fullness of the indwelling of the Father. The thing we're after. While outside, Antichrist is going to be having his way and everything's going to be chaotic in the sense of righteousness. It won't be chaotic to the wicked. They'll be gleeful. At last, they can have their way. And they'll be able to have their agenda and kill whatever Christians they want to. Whatever Christians God allows. Whoever is destined to the sword you'll go. If that's our destiny, we got to understand if God's destined us to something. And if our destiny is to the sword, get over it. That's where we'll go.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Some will be dead. And you know what? You can't say anything because it's already happening. You go to Sudan, and it's already there, Pat. They're not waiting for Satan to be cast down out of heaven. He's in their backyard. They're not expecting some future event. It's happening. Right now for them. And to tell them that they will die, they will be very patient and kind. I've dealt with some of the Africans who've been over here, who've been through stuff. I've talked to a few of them that went through Idi Amin in his business, and they'll look at you with kindness and basically tell you, you don't have a clue. But they won't say it because they're kind and gracious people, but their eyes will tell you. You speak of which you know nothing. The Sudanese people, some of them have been destined to the sword and they're dead and dying. It's not a loss. We think it's horrible because they're being killed. What's horrible is Americans because the witness is dead over here. At least they're singled out well enough that they know who to kill.
They don't have the Lord.
Oh, you know they do. They're Christians, Pat.
They are.
Yeah, it's Christians. That's why they're being killed. Oh, they do. They're very fine Christians.
Said that was, the devil was in their backyard?
Yes.
Okay. And yet they...
They're being killed.
They are still being killed, but...
They have the Lord here.
Yeah.
In their sight.
The devil's not in their heart.
The devil's not in their hearts. It's fine to have the devil. I live on Del Diablo. And people go, oh! I say, it's a wonderful place to live. Where Satan lives. Where Satan's seat is. Yeah.
No, I've gotten that in their heart. Yeah, I was thinking mortally that I was thinking if they were afraid they couldn't do anything about it.
No, they're not. There's nothing they can do about it. They're not happy with it. Who would be?
No.
Who would be? I mean, I wouldn't be really happy to come up and rape my wife and children and killed us all. That wouldn't please me a lot.
No.
But it's happening.
Yeah, I understand that.
But what can't be taken away from them is not being taken away from them.
That's what I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep, no. They are at rest in God. They have light within them, but darkness in their land. And we need to get a sense of what that's like, because that's what's coming. When the devil comes down to the earth, it'll be that way everywhere. Everywhere. Because it says he's given dominion over all the nations, all the tribes, all the nations. He's given dominion. And so if we think that as Christians, that means we somehow escape, we've got a wrong idea of victory. And it won't do poor people who hold steady to this rapture thing a lot of good. Because they're not going to get raptured and they're not going to escape, just like the Sudanese. Aren't being raptured and they're not escaping. And we need to realize that that's not defeat and that's not terrible. And that's, if it's our destiny, that's a wonderful thing. Herein is the patience of the saints. If this is where you're destined, get over it. This is where you're destined. I don't know when this is going to take place, or how long in the future this is, but if I was right when I heard it's already begun, I don't think it's going to be too far away in the future. So we need a little shifting of the mind. We've been dealing with worldliness, and to the extent that we are in the world, in the sense that we are clinging to worldly things and worldly ideas and whatnot, and get our security and our pleasure and our success from the world, we're going to hurt. Okay? But to the extent that we get our security and our pleasure and our success in God, we can't be hurt.
I sometimes think, thank the Lord that I'm as old as I am and I won't have to witness all this stuff.
Oh, but Pat, you're going to see it from over there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I've held on to that.
We want you to cheer us on. Cheer us on. When you get over there, when you watch, cheer us on. What Paul prays is that our faith fail not. That's what God prays. That's what Jesus. Remember, Jesus is saying, give me a little time to work with him. You'll see, Father. He won't deny you. He won't deny you. I'm working in his life. He may have slipped up this time. Give me time. We'll come to the place he doesn't slip up again. He will overcome. And then you can cast the enemy in the lake of fire. Because there will be none of that in your saint. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, we don't understand, like my dear brother, Joseph Malakadumbe from Uganda, Lord. He was so kind, so gentle with me. But I could tell from his eyes that he had gone through things and seen things that I knew nothing about, nothing. I had concepts, I have words, but he had experience. Lord, you're trying to tell us that ahead of us is experience, real reality. We've got to get a hold of the fact that life is having you and knowing you and being filled with you and pleasing you and having victory over the sin. That's life, whether we lose our heads or not. And success is having possession of our own souls. That's success, whether we're imprisoned or not. So that we don't have a false set of goals and a false set of expectations and lose our faith when we ought to be rejoicing. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us. Help each one of us, Lord, to get a grasp of the reality of overcoming. Get a grasp over the reality of confession of sins. Get a grasp over the reality of taking ground from Satan so that he has no place left to stand to accuse us. So he may be cast out of heaven, Lord. Because the thing we want, I believe, the thing we want, that now where the fullness is part of us, I think, will only come as he is cast down out of heaven. So give us grace, Lord. We're mixed up, Lord. We're mixed up. We're fearful of things we ought not be afraid of and bold where we ought to shake.
But you're kind and you're gracious to us and you're helping us and we appreciate it. Give guidance and assurance to each one of us, Lord. We pray, I pray in Jesus' name that none of our faith be shaken, that each one of us be firmly grounded and rooted in love and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and in His Word and by His Spirit have success this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.